Let's see where we want to start. Let's start in Psalms again tonight. Tonight, we've been preaching pretty, I don't know the word, heavy, strong messages. And this one won't be a get right with God message, I don't think. It's more of a get our philosophy and thinking right a little bit. Psalm 111 is where I'll start. And so that's where we'll be tonight. I want to title it, Starting with the Fear of the Lord. Starting with the Fear of the Lord. I've written down to read the whole chapter just because of context, but I'm going to shorten that up a little bit. You can read it on your own. It's a good chapter. And it's just basically talking about God's care for us and how He cares for us and things. But I'm going to start down at verse 9. It says, He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they which that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. Psalm 111. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. So they have a good understanding of things, those that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. All right, let's go ahead and pray and we'll talk about starting in the fear of the Lord. Father, thank You for this wonderful book, Lord. And Lord, I haven't been reading Psalms as my regular reading right now, but Lord, I've been getting a lot out of it just studying for some messages, Lord. It's how many times I read the Psalms through in my life, Lord. It's amazing how deep Your book is and how many wonderful things are in there. As I wander into Proverbs some and some in 1 Corinthians, Lord, we just praise You and are amazed at the Word of God. Thank You. We're not down here guessing and trying to get the smartest one of us and the most spiritual one of us to write down some rules and some thoughts, Lord. Thank You. You wrote down Your thoughts for us because Your thoughts are not our thoughts and Your ways aren't our ways. We thank You for the Word of God that we should take heed as a light that shines in a dark place. And we just pray that tonight You would give us Your way of thinking and encourage us and bless us and help us to understand and to be spoken to. And to begin to understand what the fear of the Lord does and then understand how it applies in our life. We just ask You to help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been in a lot of car wrecks, as you know, and one of the things I've learned about that is you should find out what your insurance covers. And sometimes insurance companies are very good at writing things out. We just got another offer on the church insurance, and the plans are a little different. And it would make you either laugh with humor or depressed if you knew all the things a church has to have covered that people will sue a church for. And it's actually, to me, it's humorous, but I guess to a normal person, it's depressing. And in my insurance, you can get your, in my house, you can have different types of replacement costs for if your house burns down. And you can have what they'll call replacement costs. You can have dollar amounts. And but one of the things I've thought about before is my house is a quirky house that's had add-on in addition to it. And so it's kind of quirky and weird. And if my house burned down, and God forbid, and we had, especially now that my roof's on there, I got a new roof finally, so I don't want it to burn down now. And I know it won't this week though, because it's got lots of fire retardant in it. And if it burnt down, I thought through my mind as we rebuilt it, because I would not just I would want to have it rebuilt. How to rebuild it? Because you got kind of a foundation you got to build on. Now you can change things about the foundation, but you got the dimensions and the city and the rules, and we live in the People's Republic of King County, so there's a lot of rules, and so you have to. I say many funny things how many got every joke I just said? Okay, good. How many don't know if they did? All right, I try to figure out how to rebuild this. First of all, I would make it so that the laundry room, you didn't have to walk through my bedroom to get to the laundry room. When you have 9 people in the house, there's a lot of laundry, and my bedroom becomes this highway. But I thought, how would I rebuild it? But I'm stuck in the foundation and the layout of where I am, and how far I got to be from the neighbors and from the street, and where the pipes come in. There's a lot of factors you wouldn't know, but a foundation kind of kind of figures it out. Now you can change some things here and there, and vary things, but pretty much when you have a foundation, it's going to kind of determine the shape of the house. Now you can build a little higher and a little more of this, and if nobody's watching, hang this out weird directions or whatever. But you don't want to do that stuff because the foundation only supports so much, and you do that. Now, with that in mind, just kind of how a foundation is a start, I want to get into some verses here. We just saw the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And those that know is those that keep his commandments have good understanding. Let's go forward to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs chapter 9. And let me go forward to Proverbs 9. If you don't have that many skills like I don't, when you have anything like you made a funny, you got to point it out. And Proverbs 9 and verse 9. Give instructions to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. By the way, it's interesting, just is fair. He increases learning. You'd think those aren't associated, but they are. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of several things. We've just read it's the beginning of wisdom. We read that twice. It's the beginning of knowledge. And the knowledge of holy is the beginning of understanding. And so really in the fear of God, we see these processes of wisdom and knowledge and understanding all coming from fearing the Lord. So if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom, that kind of begs to ask the question, well, there are unsaved people who know things, right? The universities are full of them, and schools are full of them. And knowledge of the Holy One is the beginning of understanding. And there's lots of great scientists or discoverers or what have you. By the way, I believe all scientists are just discoverers. They just find what God made. But all those people, they know stuff and they've learned things and they have knowledge. And hey, it's great. We love technology and all these things. All these advances are fine and medical things are good and all those things. But many people who weren't Christians, some might have been an atheist, one might have been a Buddhist, one might have been a Hindu, one might have been a Muslim, one might have been a confused person, doesn't know what he is. And they weren't all Christians. Now, all the foundations of the major scientists, the person who founded them, you look back, they actually were creationists. Every single major area of science was founded by a creationist. But there's lots of people who know lots of things who don't believe in God. As I was studying this, just looking at a couple things, the fear of the Lord in the Old Testament is the word yara. The word means fear or morally reverent. It's a reverence of God and a fear of God. It's just how we use that. Actually, the New Testament word for fear, funny enough, the New Testament word for fear is much stronger than the Old Testament word. The Old Testament word for fear is more of a fear mixed with reverence. The New Testament word is just plain old fear, panic, terror is the fear of God, and which is not what most people think. And it's a different word. One's Greek, one's Hebrew. And so the word, it means this having this strong reverence for God and a fear of him also. And the word primarily means fear, but it can also be a strong reverence for a power that you, whoa, that's something, that's somebody. Whoa, I reverence that. Whoa, they're bigger, stronger, more powerful than I. And so that's what it means. But even more interested in that is, and more important than that is the word beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom, of understanding. Beginning, reshith is the Hebrew word, The word means the first in place, order, or rank. The first in place, order, or rank. So we get back to the foundation. It's in a process. If you look at the Lewis and Clark, they went up the Mississippi, if I'm not mistaken, they tried to find the start of the river. And they actually found, as far as they could possibly go up, this one little spring. And that's what they called the start of it. And so that's the beginning of the Mississippi. It's one little trickle. Okay? That is at the very start of it. That's the beginning of it. And then it goes into more and more and more. It's the first in order of things. So the fear of the Lord is the first in order. A great way to understand that is the foundation. The beginning of a house is the foundation. How you build, they just built, they're building a house up the street from my house, and I was looking, and it's a big house. How do I know that? Because the foundation's huge. Okay, the foundation's just giant. The foundation's it's just a big foundation. Now, I don't know if it's one story, I would guess it's going to be two story, because they just find it's cheaper to build two stories in one once you lay the foundation. But it's going to be a big house, and I can even tell you the shape of that house. Because the foundation's laid. The beginning of that house is the foundation. Now they're putting the subflooring in and things, and they're doing that. And I drive about all the time, and I see it, and I can kind of picture. I kind of got an idea of what the house will be like. But if the house was, you know, if the foundation is from me to this wall here, well, you can only build so big a house. Because your house isn't going to be, if it's this big squared, your house isn't going to be over 700 square feet. You know? Maybe if you do it just right and stack it up, you can make it taller than that. But basically, you kind of get the idea, because that's the beginning of a house. And you got to kind of build on that. And you go from there. You go from that point. That's the beginning of it, and you start there. The fear of the Lord is the foundation. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's at the start of it. And it kind of starts you out on that. It's a foundation. You can have a house without that foundation. But it should be the beginning and will establish how the house is shaped. So you can say, well, you know what? I built a house without a foundation. Lots of people did. Log cabins did it. Old homesteads did it. They didn't have the concrete company come out there and pour it on their homestead. You can do that. But understand, if you don't have that foundation, the house can only last so long, and it's got to be built a whole bunch of other ways, and it's susceptible to a whole bunch of bad things. And so the beginning and every house, by the way, has some kind of foundation. You got to have some kind of foundation to build on. It's just going to be a shaky one. So the fear of the Lord is this beginning, at the very start. Now, somebody might not have that, but at the beginning, if you don't have that, it's going to, if God's kind of wisdom and God's kind of knowledge, you've got to have that right foundation, because it branches you off and decides where you end up in your thinking. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of true wisdom. Because if you fear God and you put God in his proper place, it determines the way you think of all of life. Let me illustrate this just a little bit. Let's take three beginnings of wisdoms, three foundations. One is the fear of God. One is evolution and anti-biblical atheistic thinking. And one is just mixed worldly thinking that isn't real focused. And let's just take those three things. So here I am. I believe God created the universe. I fear God, and I believe he is the God of the universe, and he ought to be respected, and I don't want to mess with God. Okay? That's my foundation. That makes me think a certain way. That decides what kind of knowledge I have. That determines the way I see life. That determines everything. Call it a worldview. My worldview is a biblical, creationist, fearing God, loving God worldview, and that's yours also. That's what we believe. We believe that. But the person who's an atheist, well, let's start off with creation. In the creation point of view, man made us with a purpose. Therefore, because I fear God, I want and love God and want to obey God and have a reverence for who he is, and he is God, so he can do whatever he wants. The Lord hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. I say, I need to find God's purpose for my life and do His will. That's my foundation. That's where I start. That's where the foundation's been laid in my life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's a beginning of my knowledge. An atheist person, well, you're an accident. There's no other way to look at it. You're literally a chemical accident. That's all you are. Well, if you're a cosmic chemical accident, whatever you do is whatever you do. It's survival of the fittest. Just live. If you're just a mixed worldly person who doesn't really think real focused and just kind of, you're just a guy, as we say in our society. You see, I'm here? Whatever. Let's go have fun. And so these are going to take us in three different directions of the way we think and the wisdom we have. If we have the fear of the Lord, we believe in life after death. Jesus said it this way, fear not him which is able to destroy the body, but him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. So in my way of thinking, I think, you know what? I'm not worried about my body dying. I'm not worried about who can kill me. I'm worried about facing God, who can destroy both body and soul in hell. So I'm going to live for eternity. I'm willing to be martyred. I'm willing to, I'm more worried about facing God, having done not done his will, than I'm worried about what people think of me. That's my philosophy. That's the way we're going to think if we have the Bible worldview. Well, listen, if all we are if we believe in evolution, you're just an accident, and you're just chemicals came together, and all the DNA worked out, and humans increased, and da-da-da-da-da, and you believe that, you know what? You better fear death, because everything's done. You're done. Even if you don't believe in afterlife, you know what? You're done. So you might as well just live it up and have fun. If you're just a worldly person and don't really think too much about it, maybe you believe in God and believe in evolution and whatever happens in life. Listen, you don't know what's going to happen, so you're going to... You don't even know to what to react. You don't know what's true, what's not, so you don't really know how to face eternity. And so it determines how you see life. If you believe God made us, you believe he is worthy of preeminence. Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Colossians 1 says, for without him was not anything made that was made. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist, that in all things he might have the preeminence. I believe that God created us. That's the beginning of it. I believe he is the God of the universe who measured the universe in the palm of his hand. And he made mankind. And if he made me for himself, I'm his. I've been purchased. Man, if he is just nature's highest order, then what we want as humans is preeminent. What you want, because obviously humans have evolved more than any other creature. We have the highest form of thinking of all nature. You know what? Whatever I want, whatever I think is right, must be right. And that's the way you're going to think. Somebody else who's just a worldly, average, typical guy would say, I'm here. It's my life. I'll do whatever I want to do. And that's the way you'll think. But the fear of the Lord, those things aren't wise to do. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge that matters, the knowledge that is God's, the knowledge of eternity. See, God sees a whole picture. It's kind of like kindergartners sitting out there and saying, you know what? I think that school is stupid. I'm not going to go there. Because that's his knowledge, and he thinks he doesn't need to go to school again, and he's going to go, and he's going to play and eat ice cream the rest of his life. That's what he thinks. Well, he has no knowledge, but in his mind, it's logical. And humans, we have no idea of eternity outside of what God told us. So we've got to either trust God or just think we got it figured out. And the Bible says human thoughts are not as smart as the way that humans think. They got it figured out all the time. They always do. But we think that God is the one. Your authority, if you believe in God as the authority and the fear of the Lord, the authority in God, the authority is God in the Bible. If you don't believe in that, you'll go this direction, which says, I believe in human logic, and human logic is the very end of everything. You got to say something. When you talk to someone who doesn't believe in God's way, the rabid atheists, they're rare, but we talk to them. The rabid atheists, what they say, they by the way, you read any period of history, they say the same thing. Modern science has this figured out. They'll say it in 1954. Modern science now has everything figured out. They always say it. They always come. If you mocked the ideas of theoretical physicists in the 1990s, you were an ignoramus. But you know what? They have totally different ones now than they did in the 1990s. And the 90s were different than the 80s, and it's hilarious. You're an ignorant to question. They're supposed to be smarter. They have the right. They figured it out. They got these great theories, and then all of a sudden they come with better theory, and then they all move to that one and say, ooh, don't question that. You're just ignorant. And they do that all the time, and it's because it's theoretical physicists. And so theoretical ideas in any area are like that. So human logic is the be-all, end-all. And you know what I just found out? They act like science is all settled. Do you know how much one doctor will disagree from another? It's amazing. Do you know how much you'd say, you know, finances are pretty logical. A stock is based on this, and here's the numbers, and here's the fundamentals, and here's this. I have, in the last 6 months, listened a pretty good amount to four different financial experts. And I like all four of them. I've listened to more than that, but four of them that I really like. And that's my theoretical investments. And so I listened to all four of them, and four of them very bright. Four of them PhDs in economics of one way or another. Nationally known, very brilliant, very successful people. And all four of them completely disagree about where the stocks are going. Economists disagree. Listen, human logic is flawed. It's biased. I don't mind logic. It's great. I mean, if you think this is a better deal, you buy that. Use your human logic. It's fine. But outside the realm of what you can see and be logical about, there's a lot of things that human logic doesn't understand. Like, oh, what happens when you die? And things like that. And so, human logic is the be all end all. The secular thing in the person in the world just mostly just feeling. If it feels good, do it. I'm here. Feels good. I like it. Seems like a good thing. Let's do it. And so your worldview, your the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what God calls wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Why? Because if somebody comes down and here's their idea, they say, you know what? You only live once. Let's just have fun. Let's eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, whatever you want to call it. Go out and party, have fun, do what's great, have a great time. And then you die, and the Bible's right, and there's heaven and hell. You knew nothing. You knew zero. And you're in trouble. And so God says, I'm the beginning of knowledge. I'm the beginning of understanding. Have you ever talked to someone, could be any age, And throughout life, you got to gain a little bit of wisdom maybe, and maybe you know some things. And you marvel that they are absolutely wrong on everything. You say, you have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, I've talked to people who they thought they were right with their idea of how they were going to deal with their finances or their marriage or their kids. And if I thought they'd take advice, I'd give it to them. And sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. And they go, boy, you in for a rude awakening. Because they know nothing. Doesn't mean they're not smart. But really, so God says, hey, I know what really matters. I know what really matters. So fearing me is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Because, yeah, somebody might understand advanced, you know, science. Somebody else might understand incredible economics. But you know what? If you thought it was all about how many zeros were after your name in the bank account, I have unlimited zeros, so I just don't have a number in front of them, or in your bank account, and you think that's what it's all about, and so you think that, and you die, you knew nothing. So the fear of the Lord lays its foundation of the way we think. It gives us our worldview, and it kind of helps us understand these things and see that. Jesus said it this way, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That was Jesus' worldview. He says, it profits you nothing if you gain the entire world. Can you imagine a human? He owns upper Kamchatka, all the way down to South Africa, all the way up to, you know, Nome, Alaska, all the way down to Antarctica. He owned everything. And he was the king of the world. Everybody gave him everything, and he got taxes off everything. And he got everything. He owned the whole world. And he died and lost his soul. God says, you had nothing. But that's not the way we think. So you understand that Jesus' worldview, his knowledge, because he was in eternity, he created the universe, he said, it doesn't profit you anything to gain the whole world. It's foolishness to live for this world. It is not the way to think. And so that's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the knowledge, because it lays a foundation of the way you'll think and the way you'll see life and what you will live for. What you will live for. And what it's all about. The result of fearing God is great. Let me just give you a few verses here. So if you decide to start off with the fear of God and that decides what you do in life, then the results of that are great. First of all, it gives you great insight. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 5, 6, and 7. We just read some verses that said that back in Proverbs 9. But let's go to Proverbs 2, verse 5. It says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of saints. So God says here that, you know what? He gives you great insight. The way of knowledge becomes easy to you. And, you know, most of you didn't come from Christian backgrounds. Most of you went through a process just like I did. Your family thought you were nuts. You lived a life that wasn't necessarily logical to them. And now their lives in the world are unsatisfactory and have some crumbles in that foundation. And you know what? You look at them and say, it is so obvious that your way is not right. You know, you don't need to say that to them. You're compassionate. You love them and you want them to find the way. But you know what? It's so obvious to those who fear the Lord how life becomes clear. You can kind of see the whole picture. You can see the guys at work in their 20s and the way they're acting, living, and thinking that they're living it up. And you know what they're going to be like at 45 and 50? You know what it'll be like for them. And that's on earth. And then they die. And you're saying, I was like you. I know what you're thinking. It's empty. Because you can see that because you have the fear of the Lord. And knowledge is easy to him that understands it. And then you find understanding. You understand the fear of the Lord. You find the knowledge of God. You think like God thinks. It's called wisdom. Number two in the fear of God, you find Proverbs 14, you find strong confidence. You find strong confidence. Proverbs 14 in verse 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Oh, that's a pretty verse, isn't it? The fear of the Lord is a strong confidence in the fear of the Lord, and his children shall have a place of refuge. There is strong confidence when you're right with God. And knowing the way of God and seeing life clearly and having a perception of life, there is just a security in that. There's also a comfort in the fear of God. See, the fear of God is not this, oh no, I'm so scared of life. No. Fear of God is boldly living and loving life and seeing clearly how life should be and living it with intensity and passion because you know what to live for. It's not cowering in the corner. Bible Christians have a boldness because they see the whole picture, because they know what matters, because they know whom they have believed. Let's look at Acts chapter 9. There's a strong confidence. There's a comfort. It is not a miserable life. Perfect love casts out fear. If you love God and are obeying him, you don't have to fear him. But you have a reverence for God. No, he deserves, as the God of the universe, to be lived for and followed and obeyed. And he knows what happens in eternity, so we should listen to him. Acts chapter 9. They feared God and then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Listen, they walked in the fear of God. They were full of the comfort of God. And so let me take you to 1 Corinthians. Are you with me? I was Acts 9:31. That's what I said. I have confidence. Acts 9:31. And then I'm in 1 Corinthians 3 now. I'll turn from that as soon as you get there. The world's wisdom is foolishness with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 3. See, God does not think that what the world thinks is wise is all that great. God's not impressed. And you know what? I used to be impressed with the world's wisdom, and then I started serving the Lord, started reading the Bible, started submitting to God, and saw, boy, was I ever dumb. Can you believe how dumb you used to be before you served the Lord? I say, how did I not see that? Now, my IQ is just the same. What is my IQ? I don't know. I is not sure. But my IQ is much different. Probably a little smarter then. I was a little younger. And my memory's a little better. But you know what? I got a lot better education after I became a Christian, and I learned what subject noun agreements were, and all kinds of things in English class. But you can't believe what you didn't see. All kinds of you are nodding, and it's so true. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. God does not think the wisdom of this world is so great. Verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Those that aren't saved, we think that the cross is silliness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God says, my wisdom is not like this world's wisdom. I don't have to have the same ideas and philosophies. So, fear God, follow and trust him from the very beginning of your thinking. Don't be a person who fears God and lives non-Christian worldviews. You're living for this life. You're panicked when things go wrong. Your priorities, you're not seeking God's kingdom first. Now, I'm going to finish up with this, and I want to just help you understand something here. You say, you know what? I believe God is the God of the Bible. I believe the Bible is true, but my life's focused in this world, and I don't see being so serious about going to church and reading your Bible and winning souls and preaching the gospel. That's kind of out there, man. That's a little... Okay, so what you have is, and I'm not downing you right now, I understand it, it's very common, it's most of Christianity. I understand I am not like most of Christianity. I understand Open Door Baptist Church of Des Moines, Washington is not like most of Christianity in America. Okay? But most of Christianity in America believes what I believe. In general. You go, and it's changing. The mainline denominations are dying. But they're leaving the Bible completely. But you go to average Bible church, average community church, average non-denominational church. You go to your average Baptist church. You go to your average Assembly of God church. They believe doctrinally, basically, same things. But the life's out there, and in literally the full, I was laughing so hard. I had a guy come to me, and he was telling me about his brother, and his brother wasn't married, and his brother was looking for a wife, and he made a girl at a well-known church around here, and this family is very against drinking. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise, okay? Bible says, look not upon the wine when it's fermented. Proverbs 22 and 23, tell you to stay away from alcohol. So, his brother met this girl, liked her a lot, but she was a casual drinker and he didn't drink at all. He thought it was terrible and wine is a mocker. So he went to the guy I knew, and the guy I knew, who's his brother, said, I told him to go talk to his pastor and you know, ask the pastor to talk to her about her drinking. And I just started laughing my head off. And he said, what's so funny? He said, because I already know what the pastor told you. He says, I know what church you're talking about. And the pastor went, and they got together with the pastor, and the pastor said, I'm a casual drinker too. I knew that was going to happen. I knew the church. And so I'm laughing at that because I just know what Christianity is like, and I know what the churches around here are like, and there's some good ones, and not all of them are good, but there's some good ones, and so they believe the right thing, but you talk to them and you talk about really becoming a fool for Christ's sake, and they say, God wouldn't want that. That's the Bible says. Bearing his reproach, I become a fool for Christ's sake, and so. The average Christian talks about you live for eternity, you tithe, you go and try to win a soul, you get mocked even for it, you go witness it even though it's not your gift, even though you're not at ease doing it. You go and you might pray all night, you might fast, you read your Bible every day and go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night, and all kinds of times, and people say, oh, are you crazy? Why? Because though they believe that God's kingdom should be first, that in practice, it's really, you know, I kind of want to, you know, be reasonable here. That's typical. Why would that be that someone would say that they had the fear of God, to say that they believe the Bible as the authority, but they'd have a non-Christian worldview? Because those things I just said are secular thinking. Secular thinking is I do what I want to do and I do what I'm comfortable with and what seems normal to me. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Any man won't forsake his brother or sister or father or mother for my sake is not worthy of me. He that loses his life shall gain it. It's not. So what do we do if we believe in the fear of the Lord, we believe in the Bible way, but maybe we live and think in a non-Christian worldview? Two reasons that happens. Number one, you've not renewed your mind. You've not renewed your mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is in a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to make your mind think like God thinks. You got to get God's kind of knowledge in your mind. You've got to get the way God thinks and the knowledge and the wisdom of the Bible. And real easy, it's not that hard. You read your Bible more than you do entertainment. Just start with that. Listen to a lot of good preaching. Spend a lot of time in your Bible. You got to renew your mind. You got to make it new again. I believe that biblically you need a brainwashing. Your brain needs washing by the water of the Word. And don't expect to watch 3 hours of TV and surf the net for an hour and read your Bible every third day and expect to have a renewed mind. You will not think like God thinks. It's impossible. It will not happen. Write it down. Accept it. You're not going to think like God thinks. You'll be hearing the world's thinking. Number two is I just don't think we fear God that much. I want to be honest with you. You have the right knowledge in doctrine, but not the right philosophy in your life. I don't find myself fearing God, the reverence for God that I should be. I don't know how to explain that. I wish I did. God's been so nice to me. He's been really good to me. And I want to serve him and I try to serve my life. But you know what? I think it's healthy to have that I'm not going to mess with God thing. Whoa, he's God. He could squish the universe between his fingers. He that sitteth in heaven shall laugh. He shall have them in derision. That's when the world, I think there needs to be you saying, you know what? He is God. I better do what he says. He has the right to tell me what to do. And I think if we realize the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge and understanding, if we fear God and put him in his proper place and us in our proper place, we will see life and see eternity and see wisdom, and we'll live with the right wisdom. But it's got to start with the fear of God. It's got to start with a reverence for God and an understanding of who He is. And when you see Him as He is and you put Him where He should be, you will naturally act right and follow the right things and do the right things. But it all comes down to that foundation you lay of what the Bible says, the fear of man brings a snare. Do you know most people, most Christians, this is sad, and I think it's true of many of us, we're more afraid of people than God. We're more afraid of getting mocked and laughed at than we are of disappointing God. The fear of man brings a snare. It's amazing how afraid we are of bearing the reproach of Christ. But if you fear God and you renew your mind, then you find out that the way of God and the way of knowledge and the understanding of God is easy because you fear God and that lays your foundation. Now you have got the beginning of all knowledge and wisdom, the start of it. Now you can see life and know which way and understand what everything's about. Now you understand the family. Now you understand the way God made it. Now you understand the purpose of your life. You understand what eternity faces. You understand about what the body does and what it's going to do someday and where it'll be. You understand life all starts making sense. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of that. Seeing Him as He is in His proper place as God, seeing yourself as you are, just a human, and realizing how important you are to Him and putting Him in His proper place is the beginning of knowledge and understanding. Do we understand that? Amen. That's a way of thinking. It's a worldview. The fear of God is the beginning of it. Putting God and respecting Him and fearing Him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You that it teaches us this, Lord. And Lord, really tonight is just making sure we think right. And Lord, I have met some Christians who are far better Christians than I do, who fear You and reverence You in a way that I haven't got yet, Lord. And I pray we'd get that, Lord. I pray we'd get that foundation laid of the fear of the Lord, that would shape everything we see and every way we go. Father, shape our worldview, shape our thinking, shape our philosophies of life and what we're going to do. And where we're going to go with our lives. Lord, please renew our minds in these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Now, heads about our